Greetings, brethren. Welcome to day 3 of the Feast of Tabernacles 2019. And what a great and fantastic plan God has, and to know and understand and to realize that we have a great part in it. And His plan is so great and so far-reaching that it is almost impossible for us to grasp it in the way that God sees it. But through His Word, through His truth, through His righteousness, through His Spirit, through His revelation to us, we can understand what it is of the entire plan of God. So let's come to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Now let's pick it up here, beginning in chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, the reason of faith and love and hope that God has given us, I admonish you to stir up the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands. Now that's something that is incredible, that God gives us with choice and with love and with His Word and understanding to be able to stir up, or that is to keep activating in our lives the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and to direct us and to give us understanding. Now notice verse 7, for God is not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mindedness. So, perhaps we could say it this way. Unless you have the Spirit of God, you're not all there. And that's a true statement, because we were made to receive the Spirit of God because we're incomplete. And if we're incomplete, we're not all there, right? Now notice continuing, okay? Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but jointly suffer with me for the sake of the gospel according to the power of God. And that's what gives us the strength and power. But now notice verse 9. This is an incredible verse. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Now notice, own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages of time. Now let's think about what a fantastic and wonderful thing that is, that we have been called to such a marvelous and, carnally speaking, incredibly, how should we say, fantastic plan, that God planned this before the ages of time in which we are living. And then called us, forgave us, saved us, bringing us to knowledge and understanding. And now we are preparing to become the sons and daughters of God and to rule the world. Now let that sink in. This is greater than any, how shall we say, person, office, work of anything in this world. And God planned it before the ages of time. Now, let's come here to Isaiah 14. This is incredible. Now, think about this. Keep in mind, in these next things we're going to go through, that before the ages of time. And God knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And in His Word, He has revealed to us all the things we need to know. But the secret things beyond the Word of God belong to God. Now, verse 24, Isaiah 14. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, now think about this, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. So, if God thinks of it, it's as good as done. Now think about that. And as I have proposed, so shall it stand. So everything we study from the Bible and everything about us preparing for eternal life and receiving the divine nature and understanding the truth of God and everything about that, it will happen. Then he says, verse 25, that I will break Assyria in my land. Now that happened during the days of Hezekiah. And it's going to happen again at the end time. I will break Assyria in my land upon my mountains and trample him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them and his burden shall be taken off their shoulders. This is the purpose. Now listen. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. Now think of that. A lot of people want to be part of something really big. But we are all a part of something really, 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 really big and tremendous. Okay? And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. That's looking to the return of Christ. For the Lord of hosts has proposed it. Who shall reverse it? No one. Now let's come to Daniel, the seventh chapter, showing once again, everything in the Bible, when it comes toward the end, all climaxes in the return of Jesus Christ and the establishing of the kingdom of God, the resurrection of the saints, the rule over the whole world by the saints resurrected from the dead. Even though in this life they may have suffered terrible and horrible and grievous deaths at the hand of the agents of Satan the devil. But that will not stand. Because, says there in 1 Timothy, I could have read a little further, but through the knowledge of the gospel and the power of God, he has annulled death. Now, what does that mean? Annul means to make it as if it never happened. Now, think about that. We're going to all die in Adam, correct? But he has annulled death, so even though we die, when we're resurrected, it's going to be as if it never took place. And he's going to annul all the works of Satan the devil. All right, let's come to Daniel 7. Okay, let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 15 so we can follow along. Now, Daniel, one of the most righteous men who ever lived, Daniel, Job, and Noah, okay, the three. He was given all of these great prophecies, and every single one of them came to the end at the same place, the return of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and the government of God through Jesus Christ, and the saints taking over the world. So verse 15, and I, Daniel, was distressed in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head alarmed me, seeing all those things. And I came near to the one of those who stood by and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts are four kings that shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High, now the Most High in the Old Testament is God the Father, in the New Testament. Shall receive the kingdom, that's the whole world, kingdom of God, and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Then I desire to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the rest with his feet, and of the 10 horns which were on his head, and the other horn which came up, which and before whom fell three of the whom the three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth speaking boastful things, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. And I watched, and that same horn made war with the saints and overcame them. The last war. And we find that in Revelation chapter 6, martyrdom of the saints. But right after all of those are martyred, what does God do? He saves 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude. See, so everything that Satan does to try and destroy only multiplies and increases what God is going to do. Now, that's a fantastic thing to understand, isn't it? Okay. Verse 21, and I watched, and that same horn made war with the saints, overcame them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now that's something. Okay. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and that ties right in with Revelation 13, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall trample it and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings which shall arise. Revelation 13, Revelation 16. And another horn shall arise after them and shall be different from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the set times and the laws. That can be nothing other than the Roman Catholic Church, because they change the set times. What are those? Sabbath, Passover, and the Holy Days. And the laws, saying that these things are no longer required. See? And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times and a half a time. But the judgment shall sit, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and to be destroyed unto the end. And the kingdom, now notice this, and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all kingdoms shall serve and obey him. Now that's quite a thing to understand. Now that's something. Okay? Now then, let's come here to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Because here we have another explanation of this by the Apostle Paul, showing, putting it all together now. So what we have and what we're doing assembled here for the Feast of Tabernacles is so we can learn, we can be have more understanding, we can learn to love one another, we can learn to understand what we're going to be doing when we're in the kingdom of God and etc., and to understand that God the Father and Jesus Christ have personally called us and given us their Spirit, the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son together, and they dwell within us by that Spirit, so that we can be converted and changed, and at the resurrection, the final product to serve and to rule and to be kings and priests, as it says in Revelation 20. All right? Verse 3, Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. And that's not only receiving the Holy Spirit now, but when we're resurrected, have more spiritual blessings in the heavenly things, according as he has personally chosen us. Now, that's an interesting translation, because the Greek here is a middle voice verb. Now, a middle voice verb is an unusual verb, because the subject is also the object of the verb. So that's why it's translated, personally chosen us for himself. Now think of that. Now this is the plan he had before the foundation of the world, in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love, having predestinated us for sonship to himself through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Now think about that for a minute. That's why in every prayer we pray, your will be done in heaven as it on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? To the praise of it, the glory of his grace, wherein he has made his objects of his grace in the beloved Son. Okay? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Okay? And then it says, made known to us the mystery of his will. Now think about that. If you would go out and do a survey and ask someone, what is the will of God? What is the plan of God? Do you know what it is? Do you know where to find it? Do you know how to discover it? No one would know. God has blessed his people with knowledge that the world cannot receive, because it's spiritual knowledge. All right? Now let's continue on here. Let's come to 1 Peter. Not 2nd, 1 Peter. Okay? 1 Peter 2. Now let's see that we are going to be a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and doing the will of God. And Revelation 20 says we're going to be kings and priests, and we're going to reign on the earth. Okay? 1 Peter 2 and verse 3. If you yourselves have indeed tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. See? Men reject Christ, they reject us. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. That's what Christ is doing in us. Building in us the very character that we need. See, because you look at the world today and look at it. Why is everything so backward and upside down and sinful? Because it progressed that way, because number one, of Satan the devil, and number two, because men do not know how to properly live their lives or rule and serve others without the knowledge of God. It's impossible. And that's why everything that men do apart from God and under the aegis of Satan the devil always fails. Let's go on. Build up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, let's come down here to verse 9. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Now, especially if you get in very discouraged and down low and you're having a terrible pity party for yourself, this will help pull you out of it. because God loves you and God has called you and God is training you and God is giving you knowledge and helping you in every way, even in spite of all the difficulties you go through. Remember the Psalms that say, I am with you in your troubles. Verse 9, but you are a chosen stock, the called, the faithful, and the chosen. And the chosen means selected. Selected by whom? Who drew you first? The Father. And He is the great ruler of the universe. Chosen stock, a royal priesthood. That's what it's going to be. A holy nation, a people for a possession of God, that you might proclaim His excellent virtues, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now notice this, the next verse. Who once were not a people. Isn't that true? Who do we belong to? Well, you go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and see the description of those who were called. The weak, the rejected, the despised, okay, who were once not a people, but now, listen to this, are the people of God, who had not received mercy, but now have received mercy. So that's a tremendous thing. Now, with that, let's go back to the book of Proverbs, and let's look at some of the things that we need to understand and how we're going to do the... No, not Proverbs yet. We need to see what are we going to be doing. Let's come to Luke 19. Okay? Luke 19. Here we are. Luke 19. So now that we know what God has done in calling us and the purpose of what He has called us for, now let's see what we're going to do. Okay? Let's pick it up here, Luke 19 and verse 11. Luke 19 and verse 11. Now, as they were listening to these things, He went on to speak a parable because He was near Jerusalem. And they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Now, isn't that interesting? And what was the last thing that the disciples asked Jesus before He sent it into heaven for the final time? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Well, it's not going to be restored to Israel. It's going to be restored to the saints of God to take over the whole world. Therefore, He said, a certain nobleman set out to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. That's a parable about himself going to God the Father and coming back. And after calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 pounds and said to them, trade until I come back. Now see, what we are to do is always be active and growing and overcoming. Because whatever we do in growing and overcoming, that is building the character of God. But his citizens hated him and sent ambassadors after him, saying, we're not willing to have this man reign over us. Isn't that interesting? How many people don't want God to rule over them? Well, that's why God is calling us to rule and reign with Christ. And it came to pass when he returned after receiving a kingdom, he directed that those servants to whom he had given the money be called to him in order that he might know what each one had gained by trading. And the first one came up saying, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. Now, you tie that in with the parable there in Matthew 13 about bringing forth fruit some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Okay? Very similar here. Then he said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. So we're going to rule cities. We're going to rule nations. We are going to have all of the different things of the true functions of right government that we're going to do. So here, but it is true. God wants us to work his works. God wants us to grow and overcome with his Spirit. God wants us to learn through the difficulties and experiences that we go through, because these things qualify us through the Spirit of God to become the servants of God to rule with Christ. Now let's go on. Verse 18. And the second one came saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. And he said to this one, and you be over 5 cities. Now then, verse 20. Here's the one who received a pound and went and hid it. He really didn't do anything with it. So this shows that God wants us to always be working and developing. Okay? And then, because that one was afraid and buried it, the Lord took it from him and gave it to the one who had 10. And everyone said, Lord, don't you know this one has 10? He says, I know, but to whom much is given, more shall be given. So that's the way it's going to be. Okay? Now we have it very similar over in Matthew 25, but we won't turn there. Okay? Come to Matthew 19. No, we had that. 27? Yes. Yes, down to verse 27. Now here's what's going to happen. Verse 27. Moreover, bring my enemies, those who were not willing for me to reign over them, and slay them here before me. So the wicked are going to be eliminated. Now you come right back to one of the most important verses in the Bible, John 3:16. May not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now, those are the choices. You're either going to have eternal life and live and reign with Christ forever and do the things that God wants forever, or you're going to perish, which means you won't have any existence, period. All right. Now, Luke 22, verse 28. Here's what he told the disciples on the Passover night. Luke 22 and verse 28. And I don't think they really fully understood it. Now, we'll see he told them previously that this was going to happen. But let's read it here. Verse 28. Now, you are the ones who have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint to you as my Father has appointed to me a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and may sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All right, let's see it over here in Matthew 19 because it's very similar. Now, here is something that Peter brought up, because after the rich man who came to Jesus said, Lord, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments. He said, oh, which ones? Then he listed them all. He said, I've been doing it all my life. Then Jesus looked at him and said, you're lacking one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Whoa, he didn't like that. So he walked away. How many people walk away from the truth of God because they have, how should we say, carnal possessions that are more important to them than eternal life? Now, verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is extremely difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say it's impossible. It's difficult. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, forget about the nonsense that some of the commentaries have, that that's a little narrow thing that you can squeeze a camel through if he gets down on his knees and sort of waddles through it. No, God would do it differently. You take a needle, and God could take that camel and reduce it down to virtually nothing and pull it through the eye of the needle and reform it on the other side of it, right? Okay. So that's likened to the resurrection, if you can draw that analogy. Now, verse 25. But after hearing this, his disciples were greatly astonished and said, "Who then is able to be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now then, you keep that in mind concerning the things that are difficult for you that you need to overcome. All things are possible with God. And have that faith and that belief and that knowledge and understanding that if you continue to trust in God, you will overcome. Verse 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Behold, we've left everything and followed you. What then shall be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you who have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne, the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Then what he does, he includes everybody else. Verse 29. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. And many of the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So all that judgment is in the hands of God. Quite a fantastic thing to understand, see. So this is why the Feast of Tabernacles is so important, that we come together, we study the Word of God, we fellowship with each other, we ask God to help us and inspire us and uplift us and give us added spiritual strength for the coming year ahead. Now then, let's see some of the other things that we need to realize here. Okay, let's come to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. And let's pick it up here in verse 42. Verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is the wise and faithful steward?" Now let's stop right there. Steward is a person who works for his Lord to increase the wealth and holdings of the Lord for the Lord, not for himself. And then the Lord will decide what to give to the steward. Here it's already been decided. We're going to receive eternal life plus whatever God wants to give to us. So who is the wise and faithful steward whom the Lord shall put in charge of his household? Run the whole household honestly, faithfully, reliably. Okay? To give to each one the portion of food in season. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I tell you, he will set him over all his possessions. Now think about that for a minute. Come here to Romans, the 8th chapter. The possessions, the things of God. That is an amazing thing to understand. What kind of inheritance are we going to have? What kind of life are we going to have? What kind of work are we going to be doing? Well, you can know for sure it's going to be awesome and fantastic indeed. Now let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 14, Romans 8 and verse 14. Look at how much it talks about the things that are going to be taking place in the millennium and in the kingdom of God. Now here's another one by Paul. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God, as we find out there in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Okay. Now, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. Now, the King James says adoption, but that's not true. Adoption is you take someone else's children and give them your name. God is not doing that. He is begetting us again with his spirit in the spirit of our mind so that we are the children of God, not adopted. Sonship, whereby we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. Now notice verse 17. Now, if we are children, we're also heirs, truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, what did Jesus inherit? All things, meaning everything that there is. Indeed, if indeed we suffer together with him, so that we may also be glorified together with him. Now, that's quite a thing there. You can read the rest of it. That there is nothing that can come between us and God. All right? Now, let's come to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs contains some very interesting things for us so that we can learn concerning how we are going to behave and live and work and act in the kingdom of God. Okay? Since we're going to be kings and priests, and since we're going to be ruling over cities and over districts, since we're going to be teaching and all of those things, here are some very profound things to help us understand how important it is to build the character of God. But let's first take a little break, and we'll be back.